Well, thank you, Father. Lord, we just ask for your great anointing upon this fellowship call tonight. Lord, that, revival sure would be nice to start right here, Lord. And to just start here and go throughout where I'm at, go throughout where everybody else is at, and just go across the world. That'd be awesome. I know it would, Lord. And let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon all of us. That would bring repentance to all who come in contact with us. Lord, let us be ever vigilant to stay within the boundaries of what your word tells us to do, Lord. Not only that, Lord, let us hear your voice to understand your direction, Lord, your leading. And we just thank you for that, Father. You know, Lord, what I've been reading today is the things that I want to experience as well, is to hear that voice of you, Lord, and to be able to understand each and every word that you say and to lead each one of us to do what you want us to do and not what we want to do. And to be willing to give up and sacrifice, Lord, to do everything that you want us to do, Lord. There's been so many saints of God in the past, well, spotted here and there, that have walked that walk that you have asked them to walk, Lord. And they gave up all in order to do it. And I ask, Lord, that you give us all that heart and that mindset to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put a hunger in our hearts, Lord, for you, and to desire only what you want, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord, and that we would draw closer to you, Father, and to get in our prayer closets more and more and more, because prayer is what excites you, Lord, I know, because there's so much of it in the Word of God, where Jesus prayed all the time, all night long he'd pray, you know. And sometimes we have trouble just praying for 15 minutes. I'm talking about me, Lord, and I ask that you place that in us, in all of us, Lord, to pray more, to fast more for each other and this revival. Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're going to do tonight in this fellowship. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask and I pray. I know we've got small numbers, smaller than we have before, but it's summertime. I just ask, Lord, that the ones that are here, these are not to say that the people who aren't here aren't loyal. They're probably listening and off the air, but I just pray, Lord, that those who are listening and who's participating, Father, that you'd bless them in a mighty way. Bless them with revelations from the Word of God. Bless them, Lord, for all that they're doing for you, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord. I just ask for a closer walk, Lord, for me and for them as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me get my notebook Amen. Here. Has anybody got a prayer request?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey.
I want to lift my brother, Darvin Poppy, up, my spiritual brother that's living here with me.
Okay.
His truck is in the garage, and they're saying that his clutch is going, and he ain't got the money to pay $500-something for a clutch for that little Nissan, and he does get around and go to Knoxville and different places to deliver David's books. And so I just ask that all those that are on the conference call put their faith together. I mean, God heals us. He can heal that truck, too. He can fix it. So I just ask the Lord to heal that clutch so he ain't got to put out a lot of money to try to get it fixed. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We command that clutch to start working and to be like a brand new one in Jesus' name. And it's not to slip another time in the name of Jesus. You grab a hold and you grab a hold of that clutch wheel and you go and you lock in and you work every time you're supposed to and you disconnect every time you're supposed to. And Lord, we thank you that he's got new pads on that thing right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that clutch on that Nissan truck is working. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Yep, amen.
All right. That thing is healed. You tell him it's healed and he not to worry about it now another time. When he goes out there, you tell him to go out there and run to Knoxville right quick and come on back because it's working.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it.
God heard that prayer.
Amen. Sure did. There's a bunch of folks here with lots of faith. And I know that that truck is healed. Now, Darvin has to believe it. That's all he has to do is just believe.
I'm going to go back there and tell him right now.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, I was praying. Did anybody hear me? I have my mute button on. It's hard to hear with that mute button on, isn't it? All right. I'm going to pray again then because I want everybody to believe with me. Lord, I thank you for Lisa Dietz. I thank you for the healing work you're already doing in her body up there in the Big Baptist Hospital in Little Rock. I thank you, Father, that you're placing mighty and bold faith in her boyfriend to believe what we prayed the other night has already started to happen. And I praise you, Lord, that when I go up there Saturday, she's going to get up and walk out of there in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you for that bold faith. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you give him the gift of faith to believe that she's going to do that. And I praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus for her complete healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And you know what would be awesome, Lord? That you would go ahead and put some weight back on her too, automatically. And that she'd be a new woman. She'd be a new woman when she walked out of that hospital in Jesus' name. And that the glory, every bit of the glory would have to go to you, Lord, because the doctors have already given up on her. Lord, I thank you that she's at her weakest. Now, that's time we believe that you're going to show your strength, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory be to God. Praise you, Father. Amen. All right. Everybody believe?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Confound the wise.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm going to have her on here and give her testimony when she comes out. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, anybody else?
I'd like you all to agree with me in prayer about something. I have a new neighbor that moved in across from me. And it's a two-story building. And the women that live below her, I don't know if they have really super sensitive hearing or what, but there's already a bad spirit working there that they were very intimidating and complaining about her. And she had only been there a few days and she hadn't got furniture until yesterday. So yesterday the movers were moving in her furniture and the woman came out and just started saying just really kind of nasty, intimidating words about being quiet and she wasn't going to put up with it. And that was her little background is her mom lives there as well and she has dementia and she's taking care of her and stuff. And she's, I don't know the whole logistics of it, but just that they're, she's apparently hearing sounds, every little sound, and it's just amplified somehow. So my neighbor, this new neighbor that moved in, her name is Deanna, and I could see the look on her face. She was really just upset with what was saying. And I tried to I was taking her side and just saying, well, can't you, maybe put some music on or something while the moving is going on. And then her daughter came out and said, well, why should we have to I can't remember how she said it, but just said, why should we have to, you know, do this to, you know, when you're making all this noise and stuff. And it was just really, really a bad scene. But anyhow, all that to say is they went in and back inside, and I asked Deanna if she would like to pray about it. And she said, yeah. And she immediately recognized, because there's an evil spirit. There's some evil spirits there. So if you, and we prayed, and I just would like y'all to agree with me that there would just be peace here in this complex with them. And I prayed and asked the Lord just to put a buffer, a thicker buffer between the, in a sound barrier between the ceiling and the floor, that they wouldn't hear those noises, whatever they were. But I don't understand what they were hearing. She was only there. She had no furniture in her house up until yesterday. And she just exaggerated the noise. But I know it was whatever evil was working there and just made it worse than it was and exaggerating. If you would just all agree with me that that there would be peace there and that there wouldn't be any more of this controlling and manipulation and railing and intimidation and all these things that I witnessed yesterday, and you would disagree with me that these spirits are bound up and that there would be peace between these women, because it was pretty ugly.
Amen. I believe. Thank you, Lord, for that buffer between them. We command those judgmental spirits to go in Jesus' name, those criticizing spirits, those divisive spirits to go away from that complex in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bind them up and cast them out of there in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you that it's all going to be okay around there in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. We just pray for the peace of the Lord to be upon the complex in Jesus' name. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
How about, let's pray, Father, that the people in the bottom complex, that you allow them to hear the gospel and they come to know the Lord. They're allowed to repent and find things that are wrong in their lives that would help them to overcome what it is that's got them bound up, Lord. Apparently, they're under Satan's dominion. So, Father, we ask for a little light, a little relief on their part so they can come to know you and know the peace of the Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I was praying for revival to come to them. I was. Amen. I was doing that last night.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Michael, I had a prayer request.
Okay.
It seems like I have a lot of people coming against me the last couple of days. Actually, I don't know how many days, but just different people from different areas. And trying to pray much for them, trying to make my words be seasoned with salt and have grace. And I'm trying to not receive any rejection. But it seems like it's different areas, too. It's been different people. And just subtle things that I've said, you know, people seem to be taking the wrong way, getting offended greatly. And I don't know. I guess there's some kind of demon that's trying to take the light away and make it appear as if I'm coming from a different angle at somebody. I don't know what kind of spirit it would be, but anyway, I've just noticed it in several different, and it's only been mostly women within like the last, you know, like I said, several days. So I don't know how to pray for that. I've just been asking the Lord to just, you know, watch my words, let them be few, you know, that my heart is pure towards the Father, that I don't say anything, you know, to ever offend anybody, to hurt them. I don't know if it's them struggling with rejection or fear of rejection, or I really don't know what's going on, brother, but I just know I'm starting to feel that way, so I keep coming home and you know, just praying. I'm praying with the Lord and just asking him to comfort, you know, the folks and not let them feel any animosity or anything other than the love of Christ, which is all I'm trying to give them. So I just pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Sounds like might be a little trial of your faith to see how you're going to react. And you sound like you're doing good. Sounds like you're overcoming.
Amen. Yeah, I've not said anything. I just apologize, you know, because I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. You know, my heart, you know, like I would never intentionally hurt anybody, you know. So, you know, I always make sure they know it's not my intention and know it's not my fault. And, you know, and I do apologize. But I feel like I'm always saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, when I'm not really doing anything. So,
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you are putting that overcoming rest in her, because she knows you're on the throne and you ain't coming off of it. And you've got her in your hands, and all these things that the devil is throwing at her is trials, and she's passing them, Lord. And we thank you for binding them up and sending them on the way in Jesus' name. And not for anyone to be offended at anything that Jackie says, Lord, and that they would be ashamed of what they're doing. And Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to all of those who need it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
For these trials that we go through.
Amen. Because I come home and I'm like, Lord, you know how you could just see it by something somebody says or even actions, you know. And then I come home and get on my knees and just ask the Lord, you know, search my heart. You know, I repent if I'm coming, you know, speaking in a wrong way, you know, but I don't think I am. He hasn't convicted me of anything, so I don't know. So I'm just praying for all these people. So I didn't know how to go about saying all that. I'm praying, you know, because I don't want any division or any hurt feelings among people.
Well, it sounds like you're going about it right. You're blessing them with prayer.
Amen.
Hoping that, praying that God would move on them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jackie.
Yes.
I had similar experiences with that before, where it seemed like everything I was saying, they were taking it the wrong way. And the Lord revealed to me is the accuser of the brethren who's always taking your words and twisting them because of whatever they're thinking. They might have something going on within their own circumstances, but the accuser's twisting those words in their mind and making them become offended, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. But it's the accuser. The accuser speaking in their heads and twisting your words to make it like you're attacking them or you're saying something against them that you had absolutely no intention of, like you said, of doing. But it's the enemy.
Amen. I figured he's at work and something. I you know, I'm checking my heart constantly, so I don't want to have any pride and say it's not me, because, you know, there could be a lot in my heart that I don't know, like that the Lord could still show me. But, you know, I'm really seeking him, and he's not said anything. So just trying to put a smile on my face and bless them and, you know, just apologize to him and just try to just, you know, let it in one ear, not the next ear, so I don't hold on to anything. Amen. But that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Amen. We're blessed.
Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you owe me a coat. Remember when we used to do that?
Yes.
That was before my time. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the spot. You got Satan there working. That was really good. It was obvious. But it's not always so obvious, and we're going through it at the time. That's what we're dealing with. And it's like a kind of confusion. And I think it's that Satan trying to get you off track and make you feel unbalanced. But
and
if we can recognize, go ahead.
I've been repenting. You know, I come home and repent for pride because I'm like, Lord, I don't think it's me. And then I'm like, I feel, you know, then I'm like, oh, you have pride.
No, I think you're doing fine. It's just you know, sometimes when that Satan's attacking, like I'm one guy in particular I've dealt with that I've seen him come out more than once, Satan, because this guy actually said he at one time he was a pastor, and now he's 180 degrees the other way, you know, they're running after the flesh. And I've had conversations with this guy, and one time he started, I seen it rearing up, this spirit coming out like he was really going to come after me. And I just right there in my head, I bound Satan and I said, no, I don't allow you to talk to me in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan. You cannot talk to me. And he settled right down. So it was like he had to hear what I had to say and then he walked away real quick. But it was knowing what you're dealing with. Now, we don't always have that opportunity, you know, who we're talking to know that's what we're up against. But if you start seeing the pattern, if you can turn, if the light can turn on, which I hope it's not what's happening now, you're seeing when Satan's attacking, then you can, in your mind, you can bind Satan on the spot. And you can say, I'm giving these people clarity of thoughts. I don't, my bind Satan and don't allow him to confuse their thoughts and their minds. So what we talk, our conversations, you know, all these little conversations you can have in your head without having to say a word to them. I've done that and it works. But it's not always that we recognize what that's what we're going through at the time either. I know that because sometimes this stuff just hits you and you think, what was that? But, you know, so yeah, they don't feel like you're probably doing anything wrong. I think, was that Jackie that said that? Who was that? Talked about the accusing spirit. Who was that?
Was it Julie?
It was Julie.
It was me.
Julie.
Yeah,
Julie, that was very good. That's very, very good. That's awesome. That's nailed it on the head.
Well, I was glad to use my experience to help out on that because it was painful. And it's like, what did I do? What did I do? You know, like you're
exactly.
saying, what did I do, God? What did I do? But that's the accuser. He accuses you to you. He accuses you to others. He accuses others to you. You know, he's trying to stir everything up.
And I'm just, you know, speaking, you know, conversation, just, you know, whatever, just to say something, you know, just to, I don't know, but that makes a lot of sense, and that did bless me, so thank you. Thank you too, David.
I'll tell you something that's happened to me many times is I could be 5 or 6 feet away from somebody talking to them, and they get my words, that devil will twist those words around going 5 feet away from them, and they'll think I said something else. Have y'all ever had that happen?
Exactly. And they get offended immediately. And, you know, and
yeah,
you meant nothing by it.
You know, and you look at them with the look that's quizzical. What are you talking about? You know, I never said that. Oh, yeah, I heard it. I heard what you said. You said this. And I said, no, I didn't say that, you know. And you just go and you say, that was the devil. That was the devil sitting there twisting your words before they ever got to his ears. Them devil's good at that sometimes.
Yeah, it must just be a trial for me. Yes.
Oh, you said something about rejection, that you felt like that was rejection. You know, those people could very well have rejection on them, you know, and maybe that's why you were sensing that too, because they do manifest those ways, you know, and coming out that way, you hurt me, you know. So
they
perceived that way anyway.
Hurting his buddy, isn't
he? And when you have a pure heart, when you're trying to just speak to people, and then this happens, you do, like Michael said, look at him with this look, like what? I'm like, what? I didn't mean any of that, you know. I didn't say that, or you know, I didn't mean it that way, or. You're just like, I'm like dumbfounded, like just like, well, where'd this come from? But like Michael said, I guess it's just a trial maybe for me because it's been for a little while now, several days. So
you're overcoming. You're recognizing it. So.
Amen. God is good. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God is good all the time. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Where's Malcolm when you need him? Put that pie in him.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, Megan.
Hey. My, it's a Jack.
Sure.
I was dealing with Jackie. We had an incident my sister and my mom, and it's the same thing to me. And I'm constantly on attack from condemnation with my mom. So I think it's from also from rejection for both of them. So I need a prayer.
Hello? Amen. Just a trial. Yeah, you just pray for them. Bless them. Bless them with prayer. Thank you, Father, for this trial. You're working that patience out in me, showing me that you're still on the throne. Praise God. That's good. All right, anyone else?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a prayer request. We'd love to hear from the Lord and get directions from the Lord and have a clear understanding of what steps we should take next in our current living situation.
You've got some audio problems there of some sort. Did anybody understand what she was talking about? I'm getting some.
Yeah. She
Go
called
ahead,
me the other day. She called me the other day, Mila, and she's having problems with the landlord. And I didn't want to bring this up unless she got on the line and talked. We prayed because they're trying to kick them out of their they've got a lease or something like that for 2 years. And he's trying to work them out of that because he wants to sell the place. And so we prayed about it and the other day, and that he would have to talk to her nice and he'd have to honor the lease. And she called me back, said he did talk to her nice and it was real much more agreeable. But I'm not sure what's transpired since then, if things are still up in the air or what. What's going on with that, Mila?
Yeah, I was wondering if we would love to hear from God and find out what we have to do next, have a clear understanding what steps we should take next in our current living situation, because it seems like he's quoting something from some handbook, and I don't know. It seems to get kind of worse. I don't know. So maybe we'd like to hear from the Lord to see what we need to do in this kind of situation. So he can talk to us.
Go ahead,
Did
David.
You hear me?
Okay, Lord, apparently this landlord, we're still having problems with him. He's still trying to work out some kind of a new deal here that wasn't part of the agreement. Father, we're looking for some direction now, how you want to proceed with this. What is your will on this? We personally want him to hold up to his obligation on the lease. We think that it's Mila's opportunity here. If she wants to leave, let her leave. If she wants to stay, let her stay. That was the whole part of this agreement that she came into and signed. And if he wants to try to work something else out and try to find some loophole, Lord, I ask that you close that door and at the same time give Mila and Anna the opportunity to decide what they want to do and what you want to do with them. If you want them to stay, Lord, let them stay. But if you think it's best for them to move, Lord, then we just ask for you to provide that avenue for it, make it easy for them to see. We are looking for your will in this, Lord. We don't want to be confrontational. At the same time, as we don't necessarily want to see your children pushed around when they don't need to be pushed around. We know this may be a trial of our faith. We may have to just suffer for what you want us to do, suffer wrongfully when we're doing this. But we want to know what this will is of yours, Lord, on this. How are you proceeding with this, with Mila? And how are we supposed to pray and understand this? We're asking for some discernment, Father. We ask you for your guidance on this. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior, amen.
Okay. We also, David and I prayed with him the other day as well. What we do now, Anna and Mia, what we do now, after we pray and we believe, then we just rest in the knowledge that it's in God's hands, okay? We don't get anxious. We're not anxious for anything. All we do is rest now. And we leave it in God's hands, and he's going to show you what to do. He's going to, whatever comes about is going to be God's will. Okay? And if it's, yeah. if you get the word that he wants you to stay, then believe it. That's all he wants you to do. He wants you to believe it. Don't get anxious about it. The landlord doesn't know God, apparently. So you don't have to worry about him. The only one that we have to look to is God. And if he says you're going to stay, you're going to stay. It don't make no never mind what the landlord says. So you just rest in that. But if the Lord tells you that you're going to move, he's already got you a place, like David said, already picked out, and it's going to be an easy transition. So either way, you just rest, because God's got it in his hands now. And then what you do now is look for the answer, what he wants you to do, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you give Anna and Mia both a dream that would tell them what they're to do. And that they are simple enough that even I could understand that dream, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Anna? Is this Anna or Mia?
Yes.
Okay.
Both.
Both of you. Okay. Well, praise God. All right. Then that's what's going to happen then. Everybody else believe with me?
Amen.
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 Okay. All right. That's good. Thank you, David.
There's something else I want to pray. You mentioned this, and I've seen it also. So we're going to come in agreement on this. Dear Father, we're going to ask, and we do this, we take this by our authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind this spirit of anxiety on Mila and Anna. We bind this spirit of confusion, this spirit of uneasiness, this thing that's coming against them and stirring them up, Father. We command that to be gone. We ask that you bring them peace in their life and bring them the soul saving grace that you have, that spirit of peace, the understanding. Bring your spirit upon them, Father. We've prayed for them they receive the Holy Spirit now. Father, come upon them, Father, and give them that spirit of peace, your Holy Spirit, Father. Ask them to walk in newness of life and continue that walk and be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you
Amen.
Very much.
Thank you, Lord. Now, I know when we all pray for one another like this, that the rest of us are, even though off the mic, we're praying in the spirit for it. And praise God for it. Okay, so that's a done deal, girls.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else? Okay, testimony time. I got a testimony. I got a testimony. Okay. Ooh, I got my hand up. This afternoon, I don't know what it is about that garage out there, but those walls love it. And I got armed with some wasp and hornet sprayer and went out there and zapped a couple of nests. And I was getting the weed eater out and the blower out. And as I was doing that, one of them popped me on top of the ear. When those red wasps did, boy, it hurt. Good gracious. So I just instantly put my hand up there and commanded it to stop hurting and to be healed in Jesus' name. And you know, it was just in a few short minutes, it stopped paining me, and it never did swell up. It never swelled up. And it was right on top of the ear. That's a really tender place. And then a little while later, I was weed eating around there, and one of them popped me on top of the other ear. That devil, I'm telling you, and it hurt. I'm talking pain, y'all. It was hurting. And I just throwed my hand up there, and I said, in the name of Jesus, pain, go. And swelling, don't you even think about coming up on my ear. I could just see me walking around a big old knot on top of my ear. But, you know, after I prayed, I just went on to doing what I was doing, which was weed eating. And I did that for a few minutes and it was gone. Pain was gone. No swelling, no nothing. A little heat on the top of my ears, but that's all. Never swole up, never did do anything. God is so good. Thank you, Father. And that's the same place here a while back. If y'all remember, I got popped 5 times opening that silly door. So I'm going to tomorrow. I'm glad I was relating this testimony, because tomorrow I'm going to pray them wasps off of that garage. I'm tired of getting popped. And I understand Jeanette was telling me that Blake got popped a few times out there too by those walls. So we're going to pray him out of here. Amen. God is good, though.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Michael, we agree that the wasps are gone in Jesus' name.
Amen. They got to go. Mm-hmm. All you red wasps.
They got to boogie on out of there.
Do what?
They got to boogie on out of there. They're gone.
Yeah, they got to boogie right on out. Matter of fact, in the name of Jesus, if they're inside the walls there, I command them to die right inside there. Be insulation for that garage in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I declare that those wasps not even be on my property in Jesus' name, unless they're pollinating. And that's all. That's all you got. You come on here, you do your pollination, that's it. Get on out of here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And I command those moles out there in the yard to stop their digging right now. In Jesus' name, you don't dig another inch. And matter of fact, every one of you die and be fertilizer for my grass in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray?
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, the other day our air conditioner wasn't working, and it was just, I don't know, it looked pretty hopeless, and it was that way for hours. It was getting kind of warm in here, and I just started praying, and as soon as I got done praying, then Stan said, it worked. So that was an answer to prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
it's thank you, Lord. You know, the same thing happened to Don and Merlene the other day. They said they woke up and that air conditioner sounded like it was going to pieces. And so Don jumped up and shut the air conditioner off. And then the next morning when they woke up, they got out there and they turned it on again. And it did the same thing. He said the thing sounded like it was fixing to tear apart. And he shut it off, and he said him and Merlene prayed about it. And said he went over and turned it on and said it's been running smooth ever since.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
God is so good.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Well, I asked the Lord for a word for tonight. I got Jeremiah 17. My finger was on 13 and 14, actually. I'm going to start in 12 and run to 14. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be put to shame. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Amen. That's what I got.
What verse was that, brother?
That's Jeremiah 17, 12 through 14.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I got a word in Jeremiah 2. I got Jeremiah 7, and my finger came down on verse 28. I'll read in 27 and 28. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that hath not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God, nor received instruction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. My finger came down on the nation.
Okay, good deal. That's about the long, same frame.
I got this Wade. I got Psalms 85:13 from the Esau randomized verse picker, the Esau randomizer, and it says, "Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. I'm not exactly sure what he was saying there, whether it was Jesus who is...
Somebody's not muted down there in Bismarck. Who is that? Yeah, whoever's talking right there, you're not muted. I'm gonna mute you. Okay, go ahead, Wade. I'm sorry.
Well, I was wondering who was righteous and who was what in this verse. So I line up all the way to verse 8, from verse 8 to 85:13. But the best I could get figure from it would come from the Wesley commentary that righteousness has come before him as a harbinger. He shall fulfill all righteousness. He shall satisfy the righteousness of God and shall advance righteousness and holiness among men. Shall cause us to walk in those righteous ways wherein he walketh. So I guess righteousness itself, Christ as righteousness, causes our righteousness, is what I got out of it.
Okay, praise God. The Lord gives us that righteousness too, doesn't he? And how do we get that righteousness? By faith, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. Good, Wade. That's good. All right, somebody else.
Michael, I think, one of your favorite verses. I got the dry bones, Ezekiel 37, verses 4 and 5. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bring them on, Lord. Let that revival go through all them dead folks and let them come alive in Jesus' name. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Amen. All right. That's a good one. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I got Jeremiah 18, verse 4. And when the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hands of the potter, he made it again. He made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it.
Okay. What do you get out of it, Chris?
Well, I'm getting, with a lot of the ways that the Lord has been directing my prayers, I'm getting that he's the only one that can make us what he wants us to be.
He's the potter, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So he made it again. It born again, wasn't it? Seemed good to the potter to make it. Praise God.
Amen. Got to be good play.
Amen. That's second birth. All right. That's good, Chris. Thanks. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Go ahead. Is that Kurt?
Yeah, it's me. I just wanted to give God the glory because I wanted to go to Athens today to the sizzling sirloin and get a filet mignon. I hadn't had one for a long time, and it's, you know, just real tender to eat. So I went down there and everything, and I really enjoyed the trip. And I just want to give God the glory because I just believe in my heart that He's healing my eyes, and I just want to thank Him ahead of time or on time or whatever. He's good to me, and I know I don't deserve it. I just want to give God the glory.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Did you bring me any?
No, I just ate the last one.
It was good, huh?
Yeah, you're too far away.
Okay. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Kurt's eyesight. We thank you, Father, that he's already seeing good. Jesus' name. More good. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I got 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestations of his coming, even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all the power and signs of lying wonders.
All right.
I guess the whole chapter is, chapter 2 is about the ones who didn't bear fruit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I got my word yesterday when you were teaching on the Bible study on Wednesday night. See, I wanted another witness for Matthew 7:22-23 in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew, where it talks about those who are knocking. And I just wanted a second verse for that. And when you were talking about Deuteronomy 13:1, I got my second verse, and, 13:1-4 in Deuteronomy. And I got my second verse for Matthew 7:22-23. So, I have the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. And it's just really interesting on how those two can collate. Just the words in them are really neat. Oh, and does anyone know the definition of disciple? Hello?
Yeah, yeah. Anybody want to take a chance at that?
Learner and a follower.
Learner and a follower.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was told. But what's agape? Agape love.
That's obedience.
Obedience is following. Obedience, coming into agreement with them, having the proper behavior unconditionally. You know, the good wine of the life of Christ, not the murmuring and mocking and scoffing and raging wine or strong drink anyway. Yeah. Well, I just, he gave me a word there and said, Andrew, why don't you just put agape in that discipleship? And that was kind of neat, because it's sort of what we have to do, be obedient. You know, doer is you're obeying, right? That's my word I got. I know it's not a verse or anything, but I was just thinking about that today. And, you know, sometimes when you get a definition for something, you don't really think that it's actually a discipleship is very deeply ingrained in to love the Lord and to love his word, to be freed with the truth. And I just thought that was kind of neat the way it worked out anyway. That's all.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's part of our walk with Christ as a disciple, is to obey the word, and it all goes together. It's all part of it. Praise God. We're learning.
I remember.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking when Andrew was saying that, when he was saying about agape, and the verse that came to my mind was, truly are you my disciples if you keep my commandments, and that's because we love God.
Amen. Yep, that kind of went through my mind too.
You know what that is, eh? That's John 14:26, I think, where the Father's going to send the Comforter in his name, which is the person who has God in him, Emmanuel, God with us, and the Word of God, and which is in 19:13 in Revelation. And that's just it. You see, he said he was going to bring his Comforter in his name, and he was going to teach you all things, and he was going to remind you of all things. So she was just reminded of a verse that she once read, and that's from the Comforter. he reminds us.
Amen.
That's the the law of liberty. Sometimes Americans got to figure out what liberty is. And that's hearing the word, remembering the word, and that's how he reminds you in 1426, and because he's reminding you with that comforter, and hearing the word, remembering the word, and doing the word, and it functions in a disciple of Christ like gravity is supposed to function. And that's my thought on it anyway. So praise God.
Amen. There's a song that we sing. It's called "The Comforter Has Come," and it's an old song. It's an old hymn. As a matter of fact, that's one of the main hymns or songs that they sang at Azusa too. So praise God. The Comforter's come.
You think we can find that one on the internet?
Yeah. You just type it in and it'll come up. The lyrics will come up.
Oh, no one's going to sing it for me. Okay.
Come on now. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Thank you, Lord. And if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then Matthew was talking about verse 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. So we don't have to worry about memorizing the whole Bible. He'll bring it to you. It's good to memorize verses, don't get me wrong, but it's not something that the Lord tells us to put it in our heart, and He puts it in our heart, and then the Holy Spirit will bring it forth, just like it happened just now. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I was going to share the verse that I got. Mine was from Psalm 119, and I got verse 76 was where my finger was, but I think I'll start with verse 1. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee shall see me and be glad, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. That was the verse that I got. This whole little section is always kind of good, you know, the way they divide the verses up. But anyway, that was the one that I got, and it was encouraging.
Okay, what verse was that again, Gano?
I had Psalm 119, verse 76. I read from 73 to 76.
Okay.
I could read the rest of those verses for that little part. There's just like four more verses.
Go ahead.
Okay, verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be put to shame, for they have overthrown me wrongfully. But I will meditate on thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and they shall know thy testimonies. Let my heart be perfect in thy statutes, that I be not put to shame. That was a little part, but I thought it was very encouraging, and like you were talking about the Comforter before, and those are verses that are really special to me too, because he is so good at bringing things to our remembrance when we need them, and that is a blessing. And thank you all for sharing.
Amen. If you read the word, you renew your mind with the word. The Holy Spirit, it's easy for him to do that, to bring those verses back to you. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Gaino. That was good. Anybody else get a word?
I was just going to comment real quick on Gaynold's thing that I mentioned last conference call, that David did a really good teaching on Psalm 119, because that is just an awesome psalm. And it's a lot about grace and coming to the Lord and renewing your spirit with the Lord and getting close to him and have him draw you, open his word to you, you know, let you walk in his statutes and his commandments. It's all about asking the Lord for that. And again, that was he did that on 10:8:14, and that's just a wonderful thing to hear.
Yep, it sure was. I remember that. It was a series of them.
There, yeah, I was just thinking about that series, David. Thank you. I did listen to that the other night, and it was good. And Lord really, really blessed me in that. But there was a series on the one-hour teachings. I think it's called Grace to Walk in the Word or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's about Psalm 119.
Yep. It's a good one. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I got a question.
Okay.
And I feel that to you and possibly David Nelson, he may have picked up on this. On not Wednesday's Bible study, but Sunday's Bible study, about the first 40 minutes up till right after the part where David is relating Eve's dream about Kurt and the library, I've actually listened to that teaching twice, and I was trying not to be distracted, but every time I listened to it for the first 40 minutes or so, I thought I heard an intermittent ticking of a clock. Did anybody else hear that? Did not all the time, but it was just intermittent, and I didn't pay any attention to it until he started talking about the Time magazine. And I thought, I thought maybe
Brother
the
Michael,
reading to the
I just wanted to say I heard that too.
Was it? Is sound like a clock?
Yes, it was something ticking, and just occasionally, like the brother says, intermittently, maybe three or four times. But anyway, okay, I'll mute myself again now.
Well, I didn't hear it, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's not the whole teaching, Michael. It's just like the first 40, 45 minutes.
Huh. Well, let me make a note of that, and I'll ask David. I don't think he has a clock in there because those clocks keep him awake, those kind of clocks. You know, those $5 clocks you get at Walmart. It ticks.
Well, no, it was like an old-fashioned a grandfather clock, like with a big pendulum.
Huh.
That's what it reminded me of.
Tick, tock, tick.
Yeah, like that. That's it.
Okay. I'll ask him. Yeah. Huh. I didn't notice it, but I didn't. I'll ask him about it. Anybody? Did you say you heard that too, Pamela?
Yes, Brother Michael. I did hear something. I mean, I couldn't really register what it was, but it was some sort of like a regular beating or ticking thing.
I don't think it has a metronome, so that's not it.
Yeah, but I mean, I only heard it a couple times, but when the brother said it, it immediately registered. Yes, I heard something too.
Maybe you can bring it up in the prayer meeting in the morning.
Okay, I will. If you want me to, okay.
Just ask him about it. Say it came up in the conference call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris, I will put that on my list to mention.
Yeah. Tell him Chris Garber was murmuring about it.
And then Pamela Orr joined in to complain, huh? Okay. Hi, Chris.
just ask him if he's got something in there that's making that noise.
Okay, I will. Blessings.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Chris, did you say you heard that when he said Time? He mentioned the Time magazine. That's when you heard it?
Well, actually, I heard it through the first, like I said, 40 minutes or so, but it didn't even register until he started talking about Time magazine. And we're And he was talking about, you know, we got to make good use of our time and pressing into the Lord, and that was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then he started talking about the last issue of time, and I thought, do I really hear a clock?
Maybe the Lord was just putting emphasis on that.
Well, at first I thought it was the cobwebs in my head banging around, but I listened to it a second time, and I actually looked at my iPod, and it was like on the 34-minute mark. And so when I went back and listened to it, it was all the way up to about 40 minutes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I'm hearing every now and then in my spirit just the words, it's time. I'm hearing that quite frequently, it's time.
Well, that's true. As we mentioned the other night, we've been getting words from the Lord to pray and fast for the brothers around us and sisters around us that are struggling because judgment's coming. And that's the words we've been getting, it's coming. And he wants us to fast and pray for those around us that are struggling and believing for them that God's going to do something with them. And you know, when you've got a bunch of people praying, believers I'm talking about, praying and fasting for someone, God's going to do something. He's going to wake them up. He's going to shake them to the core of their feet, and to the core of their spirit, I should say, and bring them around. God can do that. He can turn them on with like a light switch, but we have to pray and fast for them, and or fast and pray. And you know, that's when you skip a meal, when you skip them, however how you fast, you know, that's some of your work, you know, and you can't go on these 7-day fasts or 2-day fasts or 3-day fasts. Sometimes you just fast a couple of meals a day or something like that. During those times of fasting, be sure and pray and lift these people up or pray for the things that you are fasting for. And don't forget to do that. And you're going to see some results here. The Lord told me 4 years ago, and y'all remember, I've said it a number of times, that when we come into one accord, our hearts come into one accord, this anointing is going to fall. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really awesome. And we're getting close. We're getting close. And there's a few minor shakeups here and there, but God can handle it. And that's what he's got us doing now. So apparently, through what he's given us in the words, we're close. We're real close. So get ready. Run after the Lord with all your heart. That's the word we're getting. Okay. Anybody else get a word?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Who was that? There was two or three of you, and I didn't catch who it was. I think it was Wade and...
No, there was another lady that asked before us.
Okay, is that you, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got James 2:26, and it reads, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. My finger came down on the spirit." That's it.
Okay. My wife Jeanette wanted to bring a word.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
It's from
Psalm 103. For as the heaven is high above the earth, this
way is his mercy toward them that fear him. Keep this teaching me the fear of the Lord more.
I need to fear him more.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't feel like
it.
Don't worry, man. My wife gets a little nervous.
Oh, that's okay. She said,
well, Psalm 103, verse 11.
Okay, I got her now. 103, verse 11.
Plus Psalm 103.
Yep. Amen. That's the fear he wants, isn't it? That's the only thing we should fear is the Lord.
Amen. If we fear him, we don't have to fear anything else.
That's right, brother. Amen. Okay, anybody else? So it looks like what the Lord is telling us is that even these that are faltering with our prayers, he's going to bring them back in. Let them dry bones be putting flesh back on them. Those that are stumbling, he's going to bring them back in. Kind of the same, generally speaking, the same thing that we've been getting here. There's some other ones here that are a little bit different, but it's all about the love of God. All right, anybody else? But I've got go ahead.
Hey, Michael. This is Miriam.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was reading the Bible today, and I got Joel 3:14. And it's saying that multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So, like as we are praying, there are so many people who have not yet made up their mind. And I think that's why we really have to continue praying and fasting for these people and for the dry bones, as you are saying. And that is it.
Amen. Praise God. Yep. Amen. These dry bones is going to get that flesh. They're coming up out of them ashes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because of our prayers and God's goodness on them, His grace and His mercy on them. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I got a lot of verses because I pretty much get a lot of it all day, so I don't read them all, but I'm looking through it and I can tell you the theme I've got is, well, there's warning for us not to depart, to stay the course, basically, because there's going to be the possibility that we could run back into the world. There's also the Lord saying that he's going to come back. He's coming back to check out his vineyard, and he's not going to be happy with the vine dressers, the ones that are not there to give up his vineyard. He's going to be dealing harshly with them. That's what I'm seeing. I'm also seeing encouragement for all of us there. They're doing the work to stay the course. He hears our words, and he's behind us. I see that as an encouragement. But And if you want, Michael, I'll send you what I got for today by email or something. But it's pretty, that's the theme of it. The theme is he's coming back. He's going to be dealing harshly with the shepherds that really weren't feeding the flock and doesn't want to let go of them. He's going to be coming back with a man-child to take over. He's going to be with us. He's going to want us to stay the course and get, you know, serious with the Lord and not depart and start watching our walk more. And he's also warning the possibility that you can lose it right now, too, if you're not going to take and hold on to this. You could be taken away with what's going to happen in this world. So that's kind of what I'm seeing with what I got a little bit and all the verses I've got. About, you know, 6 or 10 of them easily, and I don't want to read them all through because it'd take a while. But that's just to give you an idea of what I got for today.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, do that. Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The last week and a half, it just seems like the Lord's been teaching me about peace, and I just keep, everywhere I turn, I get this word peace, and the verse, I got John 14:27, P peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I got Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can utilize that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Y'all have to forgive me. I'm looking up something here while I'm trying to listen to y'all, too. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Within a week's time, I got Psalm 78 three times. And particularly the Lord had brought to my attention verses 70 through 72. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that have their young, he brought him to be the shepherd of Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So I got that three times within a week.
Can't hear you, Michael.
Oh, I wonder why. I said that was Psalm 78, right? And 70 through 72.
Right.
Yeah. That's the man child.
Amen.
Amen.
Michael.
Thank you. Come on. Come on, man child. Man, we need you.
Michael, I see a pattern, because when you first gave your word and you said about Jeremiah and then several other people, God, that's where the Lord had me studying today about the judgment, God's judgment upon an unrepentant nation, and about the false prophets like Hananiah, you know, speaking and what people desire to hear instead of the truth of the word, and how people and the apostate religion are sort of eating that up because everybody's in such sin. And when I read on the site, and Brother David had wrote from the study last night, there was a video that you could watch with a woman's dream that she saw about Washington, D.C. and crumbling. I think on YouTube she was under Warrior of God, something like that, but it was linked on to everything that David had wrote out from the study from last night, and it just seems like it's all fitting together so clear. She was speaking about, you know, the judgment upon New York for the great sin, and several other cities she mentioned that were in great sin, and being just in Jeremiah and reading about it, it just seems like the Lord is clearly saying about the unrepentance from the nation, about the judgment that's coming so quickly.
So did he mention about, I haven't heard it, so you'll have to excuse me. Did he mention about praying against the corruption up in Washington, D.C., that the Lord would expose what they're doing? Did he say about praying about that last night? Did he mention that at all?
Somebody can help me out with that, but I don't remember specifically that, but he did say to pray and fast, you know, that we needed to pray a lot more.
Yeah.
That we had to concentrate in the church, had to pray a lot more, so destruction and judgment could be held off into the second 3.5 years upon the saints where it belonged, you know, from the beast instead of coming sooner. But I don't really remember him specifically saying Washington, D.C. He could have. I don't know.
Well,
he did mention that we pray against the wickedness right now that's going on in Washington. We come against that spirit. He did say we need to start praying against that whole thing that's going on.
In Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we've been talking about. And of course, you remember the dream that I had the other night too. Is that and that's kind of what we're praying as well and fasting for, is that God would expose the corruption, the evilness in Congress, the State Department, and also the Supreme Court, that God would expose the corruption that's going on up there. And also that he wouldn't allow that we would pray against the establishment getting in as president again, that he would reform the whole government, just like David talking about, for at least for the next 3.5 years. So that's something that we had talked about here locally. So he probably mentioned it generally speaking last night. I thought he would, but anyway, sounds like he did in a general way. So let's just do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, for this nation, that you would expose the evil, corrupt darkness that is permeating the whole the whole government up there in Washington, D.C., Lord, that you would expose all of the darkness that's going on, especially in the presidential races. You've got the people that are in there now in the State Department. You've got the people that are running the show that are just absolutely throwing the Constitution and you aside, Lord. They're all for this gay business and this transgender bathrooms and all of this garbage and abortion and all the things, Lord, that you talk and speak against in your Word of God. Lord, we ask that you expose the evil briberies that are going on up there, Lord, and the evilness of the trail of bodies that they're leaving all over the world, Lord. And I ask for your grace and your mercy upon this nation for at least the next 3.5 years, Lord, that you would put somebody up there, whether it be whoever you want, Lord. But we ask that you take this corrupt government down in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for that. Have mercy upon your chosen people, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray?
Michael, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
And that is, years ago there was a dream that President Obama would repent. And I remember at the time David at Eels and there's some other folks that were, they had sent him a copy of Sovereign God, I think it was. Anyway, I just wondered if you've heard anything kind of along that line regarding him. I mean, that was a very encouraging dream, and how that might fit in, if that's still on the table, how that might fit into some other things going on. Have you heard anything as far as revelations? Go ahead.
We've had a couple of dreams, and it's been a while back, but we've had a couple of dreams sent in that kind of lean toward that, you know, that he would repent somewhat. But, you know, that's up to the Lord.
Right, in our prayers.
That's what we pray, that every one of those corrupt people up there would repent of all of their wrongdoing. That would be the blessing right there. That'd be a miracle from God.
Right. Well, I know there have been some dreams that he was taken out early, and I'm just hoping and praying that the other stuff would still be on available for him. You know what I mean? That there's no completely lost for him there.
You know, when you have been exposed to the corrupt and evil works that you've been doing a lot of times that humbles you to the point to where, you know, you will cry out to the Lord. So we'll just see what happens. I pray that they all repent. Thank you, Lord.
Something happened this weekend with me. I ran into a number of friends that I hadn't seen for many, many years, as in like 20, 30, I guess more than that. And so I told them a little bit about my experience. And back in 2008 when I, through Andrew Strom and actually Ann Levin and David Eales and some other folks, discovered what was going on with the Kundalini spirit coming in through Todd Bentley and Lakeland and Brownsville and whatnot. And so I was relating that and just talked rather specifically about the Kundalini spirit and the similarity between the folks that are practicing Kundalini yoga in India and also in the States, you know, around the world, how there is a similar type of manifestation when that spirit takes them over in the Kundalini yoga and that which is going on in the charismatic Pentecostal world. And little did I know that they were, what I was surprised at was that they both, two of my friends were saying that they were quite familiar with the different terminology in Kundalini yoga, and it turns out they were, had been quite involved in different, I don't know if it was, I hope not Kundalini, but Kundalini, just yoga in general, to deal with some physical problems they've had. And anyway, when I finally started putting two and two together after this weekend, I started realizing that, you know, some of them have accepted a contemplative prayer and have been involved in that, and I just became overwhelmed realizing that people, ostensibly Christians, have gotten into this stuff, and I just have started praying. I haven't confronted them about these things, other than to say things that I didn't even, you know, describing my experience, describing the issues with Kundalini yoga. And I think the Lord, I didn't realize that my brother had also talked to these folks about his concerns about yoga and why he hasn't gone that route, trying to deal with physical things. But I didn't, having not known that, I went into some rather detail on the Kundalini stuff. And so anyway, I've just been praying for them, and it does seem overwhelming when you look at what's going on in the charismatic churches. I think Andrew Strom was saying it's hard to go into any of these charismatic groups without running into this, New Age stuff. So, you know, of course, we're all praying that the Lord will just turn the tables on this and reveal what's going on and deal with it, because and use us whatever way he chooses in that aspect as well. But it's back to you, Michael.
Yeah, I've even seen some yoga classes that call themselves Christian yoga. Well, that's an oxymoron. Ain't no way you can be Christian and be doing both of them. And that's a meditation thing. That's that Eastern religion garbage that they're trying to incorporate into the church, and in a lot of ways they've been very successful, but that's because people aren't reading their word. They're not getting in the word to find out and to have that discernment to discern what kind of, you know, what kind of spirits they are. Dangerous stuff. That Kundalini spirit as well, that part of it.
Hold on, Michael, I'm changing phones. I have another question. Actually, maybe I could get away with it. I've got two phones going here. Michael, do you, this is kind of my take, and maybe you could comment on this. If you understand the gospel, clearly God has a solution for any physical ailment, and it's just the gospel. And I think what's happening with a lot of Christians who have physical problems that turn to yoga to alleviate different things in their back, and especially their back and other ailments, yoga has offers solutions to different back problems. Whatnot. It seems to me that people that turn to yoga that are Christians who don't understand the gospel are simply turning to the enemy's solutions for their problems. I mean, the doctors are one way to go as an alternative to God, but when you turn to yoga and some of these things like this, you're actually turning to the enemy for a solution.
What's your question?
So what's your take on that? Because it seems to me that yoga is a direct counterfeit. It's not like medicine. It's a direct counterfeit. It's turning to evil spirits. And granted, those stretches and whatnot are physically can be helpful, but it goes beyond that, because there's like the Hindu prime minister has stated. The way Westerners are practicing yoga is not right. They need to get to the core and understand, the Hindu roots and be going at it from a proper angle, then, rather than just trying to lift yoga and make it compatible for the Western world. They need to get back to the roots. I mean, you take his statements and hello.
Well, I can tell you something that I read here. I believe I read it on the conference call here maybe a week or so ago, about came out like a mighty wind. You remember that witch doctor that came to Christ, and he would say that people would come to him for healing, and they would bring a chicken or something, a goat or whatever it is, and sacrifice it, and it would heal them for a while. Satan would pull back for a while, and then they'd have to come back and do it again. It's a false healing. It's nothing that never goes away completely. I don't know. People need to read the Word of God. They want to turn to something. They want a quick and easy fix. And they don't want to have to walk the walk that God wants them to walk. And that's a sacrificial life of believing and reading and praying and the things that God wants us to do. Not that it's a job. It's a discipline more than anything. And it's a rest in Him and knowing that He's going to heal you and enduring in your faith to, like we talked about last time, to believe that God's going to do it, or He is doing it. And so it's just ignorance, laziness in the Word. And it's going to tell on them. Here comes tribulation. And that's when a lot of people are going to get serious about God. The people that God has chosen during that time are going to throw away yoga. They're going to throw away doctors. They're going to throw away all of that stuff. And they're going to come running toward the Lord.
Well, the folks I'm dealing with aren't even aware that the gospel, healing is part of the gospel. So they're, in their world, medicine is okay. And but they're turning to yoga, not realizing, I don't think, that it's actually a counterfeit to what the gospel, what the Lord offers.
Well, it's like you said before. It's turning to the enemy for a fix, and that's dangerous.
Very, very directly going to the enemy. I guess I'm a little astounded, having a background in Hinduism and Tibetan Buddhism and whatnot, and it's hard for me to see people that I know and have known me for years who are turning to this stuff it's like, this is kind of in your face, not really hard to figure out, but, you know, the roots of this stuff. So, anyway.
Yep. Well, it's the same thing with doctors. And psychiatrists, the same way. You got churches recommending certain types of psychiatrists, Christian psychiatrists. How do you be a Christian psychiatrist? You know, psychiatry in itself is a theory. It's not even a science. Psychiatry's not. It's just a theory, you know. They'll give you a bunch of dope to dope you up to make you feel better. Nothing, never a complete healing in psychiatry. Never. It's just all it is giving you the medicine to make you feel good, to calm you down, to dummy you down. That's all
it is. Drug therapy.
Go ahead.
Drug therapy. That's all you know.
Yep.
It's a nice way of moving the demons around your body with using drugs.
That's a good way of putting it.
By the way, there, I've already mentioned this before. Maybe I'll just repeat it here, and that is, I was aware of a church that actually got together and told somebody who was bringing their demons to church and causing a little bit of trouble, said that you may not come back to church unless you've taken your drugs. So how's that for
you know what happens when you take those mind-altering drugs? You open doors to other demons. Yeah, that's what happens. You open doors to other demons. Psychiatry, if you look up the statistics, psychiatrists are way up there as far as committing suicide. Way up there. If not number one, I don't know. I don't remember what it was. It's been a few years since I've looked at it. But psychiatry was way up there about killing one another, killing himself. So, you know, you got all those demons you're fooling with, and you're trying to drug them up, and they're jumping on you and jumping on them, and just passing them around is all you're doing.
Somebody's having a party, and it isn't the victim.
Well, what's happening is the pharmaceutical companies are making a killing off of people. They're making a lot of money drugging a whole generation up.
I was going to say, recently I was listening to Called, Elect, and Predestined the other day, and David made a statement about the disciples that were with Jesus, you know, the 12 and the 70, and he made basically a statement that he never really condemned them or talked about their sin. He never was upset and bringing forth sin in their life and talking about that. He was upset, not that they weren't overcoming, because they probably were when they were with him, but he was upset when they failed, when he believed they should have had the faith for something, but it seemed like they faltered or their belief didn't hold them through. And he only would get on them for that when he thought they should have accomplished that part of their life, had a little more faith and had a little more belief and walked more in not in unbelief. And so my point is that we're looking at a whole different strategy of the gospel here compared to what the other apostates have. The other apostates don't have that faith. They don't have that belief, and they're not trying to walk in the word. They're trying to just be the word to a degree without the faith, without God manifesting in their life, without trying to understand. And there's the other part of it, that there's the benefits. You get to walk and you get to inherit the blessings. You get to have the healings. You get to pray for these things. Like today, we prayed for my neck. It was healed within 5 minutes after that, you know, it's done. Those kind of benefits. Yeah. But those kind of benefits that we trust and we believe and we know it's true, the rest of Christendom, they aren't walking yet, and they don't even aware of it because they don't know that part of the gospel. They don't know that's what the gospel Jesus was really teaching. He was talking about walking in faith, walking in belief. And that's when he was childing them for when they didn't get it to that standard he expected them to be. He wasn't going after for their sin because he forgave their sin and he's helping them overcome that. He knew he could win that battle. He knew he could probably walk and achieve that. His concern was walking by faith and believing and accomplishing those things you need to walk, walking in the gospel.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, we talked about psychiatrists and pharmaceuticals. Doctors and pharmaceuticals is the same way. They get kickbacks on whatever drug that they're selling. They get kickbacks on it. And if they get more out of one type of drug, they go, you know, I'm talking about unethical doctors. I'm sure there's a bunch of doctors out there that are good and they mean well. But there's some that's just in it for the dollar. And you put your life in your hands, just like we talked about here a while back. 440,000 people died from medical mistakes. And I thoroughly believe that it's not mistakes, that it's I don't know if I should say that or not, but anyway, it's a bad thing to trust man for your healing when you know you've got a God out there that doesn't cost a nickel. And all we have to do is just believe. Give God our faith and he'll give you the promises. That's how easy it is. But you know, we've been acclimated to go to the doctor since we were children. And sometimes it's hard to get the faith to believe that the doctors are not the answer to our healing. I want to ask everybody out there that how many times that they've been healed by a doctor. And I tell you what, if you've got an honest doctor, that doctor will tell you he can't heal anything. All he can do is put a Band-Aid on it and make you feel better and give you a pill, make you feel better. That's about it. That's about all they can do. Or remove something from you that has a direct effect on something else, you know. Or give you a drug to counteract another drug that was counteracting another drug. And, you know, it's just, it's craziness. It's craziness. We watched doctors. Well, that's just watch them, you know, kill people. Seen it happen many times. I told you about the lady over in Memphis that we prayed for, that the doctor and God healed her completely. And the doctors told her, said, well, we can't find any evidence of that cancer, but just in case, let's go ahead and give you some more chemo. And it killed her. Just out and out killed that poor woman. And I've seen it happen time and time again. So why would I want to put my trust in a doctor that's I don't know? And not only that, that he didn't know what's, you know. We saw that here a while back when we were praying and believing for a local person. And every time they would tell us, a nurse would tell us, you pray for this. And we told her, let us pray for the things that you're seeing that are a hindrance to her getting well. And we'd do that, and we'd see immediate results of our praying. Immediate results. And then we saw a doctor, me and David were standing out there one day, and praying and watching from the outside, inside, looking inside because the room was full. Doctor walked in there and the vital signs went straight downhill. We said, what is she doing? You know, we asked her, what's she doing? Oh, she's not doing anything. I can tell you what it is. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. They speak curses upon them. They have told them in physician school or doctor school to give the bad report all the time. That way, if it's bad, you won't mess up, you know. And they do. They, if you, you know, well, this is going to happen. This is what you're going to, you take this and this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Well, if you don't believe God, it might. It might all happen like that. But anyway, I get off my soapbox. Doctor.
You hey, know, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you mind if I tell a story from my childhood?
Go ahead.
This is out at Bonnypod, Nepal, where I grew up. And it's about 15 miles east of Kathmandu toward Everest. Maybe I shouldn't give some of the real nitty-gritty detail because it was involved a hospital contract. Well, I can just say this. The hospital contract at the time, the hospital had to, if anybody talked about Jesus, basically proselytized. Everybody would be sent out of the country that was working there that was not, a Nepali. And then they would confiscate the hospital. So people, the missionaries there were pretty nervous, you know. And were also accepted the fact they couldn't talk about Jesus and that kind of thing. So there was a guy from Bonnypod who contracted rabies and came up to the hospital too late, and they were giving him shots in the stomach, which is what you have to do. But I think it was too late for that treatment. Anyway, he got worse and worse and got to the point where they had to, you know how with rabies you have to keep the blinds, keep the room dark, and also they are desperate for water, but they can't drink. So because if you bring water in, they freak out. So it was clear to my dad this guy wasn't going to make it, and so he took a risk. And told them about the Lord, told them about Jesus. And the most amazing thing happened. He accepted Jesus. He decided to follow Jesus, which is in that town and in that time was essentially a death sentence unless your family didn't object, or if you could keep it real secret, or, you know, which is not exactly what being a Christian is. I mean, you can't just keep it a secret. So, but this guy took that step, decided to follow Jesus, and he was just incredibly happy. It was amazing. He was stuck in his bed, you know, of course, because of his condition. But now, what was amazing, of course, they prayed for him for healing, too. Not my dad still doesn't understand how the gospel works along that line, that it's a done deal. But they prayed that God would heal him, you know, with that, from that perspective, that you ask God, and you know, for what he's already promised. They didn't realize, my dad didn't know that, but it was just amazing because this guy actually, all the symptoms went away. His pain went away. They were able to open the blinds, let light into the room and bring in water. It was like he was completely healed. And this guy was so happy. The interesting twist of the story is I think that next night he died, but didn't seem to be a symptoms of rabies. So it's, you know, I have questions about, you know, all, you know, the fact that he died and whatnot, but he clearly had decided to follow Jesus in a very dangerous environment, you know, where you, that kind of a commitment in that environment is, it's not something you do flippantly like here in the States or some Western country where it's okay. That's the end.
Well, you don't know what he died of. He died of Jesus, didn't he?
Yeah, right, there you go.
Praise God.
Yeah, I mean, rabies, for those of you who know rabies, it's like once you're in stage like that, it's totally miraculous to get out of it.
Sounded like he was coming out of it.
Yeah, his symptoms were gone.
Praise God. Well, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, you were talking about doctors, and
hospitals and stuff. Our son-in-law is an anesthetist, and several years ago he told me, I don't know, it's been three, four, I don't know, maybe even 5 years ago, he told me if people saw the things that he sees, they'd be scared to death to go into a hospital. And he said when he went to school, some of his classmates, they never studied. They were always out partying, and he would be studying night and day, and they passed just like he did. So if you happen to get one of those people that cheated when they were going to school and don't know what they're doing, hard telling what happened to you.
Amen. Yeah, I hadn't been to a doctor since 2005, I believe it was. I ain't going either. I'm scared of them places. No, I just believe God's going to heal. That's where we are. Praise God. Well, okay. Anybody else before we close out?
I was just going to say, every time I get around a doctor, it seems like I'm around a Nicolaitan. They always have that air about them, like they have this authority over you, and you know they know something you don't. It's just like you're being around that same structure and a church structure that they're the clergy, you're not, kind of idea. Maybe it's not the way I with all of them, but it's kind of how I feel sometimes when I'm around them.
Got a Messiah complex, don't they? Some of them do. Some of them mean well. I know they do. Well, Father, we just thank you for tonight's fellowship, Lord. It's been great with these words that you've given us, Father, and I ask that you do the same thing for Tuesday night so that you can show us what you want us to know, Lord. And I praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're for your protection upon everybody for this weekend and the rest of the weekend, week. And, Lord, I thank you that tonight everybody's going to sleep well. We're going to have some good dream, and we're going to get some good words from you, Lord, because every word that you give us, Lord, is a good word, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us, guide us, lead us, and set a watch before our lips, Lord, that we just we only speak as an oracle of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless.